From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 22nd day of February 2019. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. And then a bit later in the program, we'll be joined by Eric Snodgrass from Agrible. We'll take a deep dive into the weather forecast. Eric, by the way, and Mike, too, will both be at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana on Tuesday, the 5th day of March. That's not next Tuesday, but the following one. I hope you can join us. WillAg.org to buy your tickets for just $30 or 800-898-1065. So stay with us right now today, and you'll get a preview of what we'll talk about in a couple of weeks, and we'll update you on everything that's been happening in Washington and Chicago, too, right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media's Public Radio for the Farming World. We're now joined by Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas, to take up what happened in Chicago for the day and to assess some of the news for the afternoon. Oh my gosh, Mike, it's just late news afternoon. CNBC reporting that the U.S. And China may come to some kind of agreement, and the number they dropped out as for the trade in goods was just phenomenal. And the number we got yesterday was actually big for agriculture. It was $30 billion. Today is $1.2 trillion, though that's unconfirmed, and there are no other details. But boy, that's a big number.
These are the kind of things that are only going to increase our volatility. You know, when we got together last Friday at this time, we talked about the technical vulnerability on the weekly charts and the volatility because of the data dump that we're going to get this week. Next week is going to be just as rough. It's going to be just as tough. You know, we had such a break in the hogs and in the wheat when the rest of the markets were looking very, very strong. I mean, it's very odd to see copper have a 6.5% better week and wheat have a 4% lower week, and hogs have a 6.5% weaker week, and cattle make the best performance in price since March, June of last year. So this latest news, Todd, reading the tea leaves as much as I can, it looks as though Lighthizer and President Trump are not really agreeing on the progress as much. Lighthizer saying great hurdles are left. President Trump is saying that he thinks they can get something done and that they're going to meet reportedly in Mar-a-Lago in late March, and that they're going to, you know, work it out. But it's one of those things where if we continue to get this kind of news, I wonder if the markets are just going to have to start assuming that something's going to get done and not really walk away from that position, and kind of until they get proof that it's not done, they're going to go ahead and try and keep premium in the market. And that the answer to that, to me, is holding that 895 low in soybeans. With more African swine fever this week in more places than just China, if we don't hold 895, then the market is probably giving up. If we hold 895 and go higher next week, they're probably digging in their heels thinking this is going to happen as far as an agreement.
Hey, so let's talk about African swine fever just a bit, because the $30 billion number that was tossed out yesterday, many are thinking that that's probably a whole bunch of items, but maybe a lot of pork because of the impact of African swine fever. How many sows do you suppose have been impacted and eliminated there in China? Have we seen a number? It seems like I saw one drop out.
Well, I have been told by a colleague that came through a client that had just come back from China, and he put a number of 6 million sows. So
that's the number I heard.
Yeah, and that's you're looking at, you know, our breeding inventory, our total breeding inventory of about 5.75 million. So I think the number I would use on that 30 billion, Todd, would be a third of it would be probably soy. A third of it would probably be meats, pork, and beef combined. And then the other third would probably be feed grains. I could see 20 to 25 million tons of soy being purchased. If this is over the course of one or two marketing years, I don't think it's going to happen over the course of 6 months or 8 months, but a third of it I could see being, you know, the soy related meal and beans, and then another third being pork and beef related. But this is where, if we start pricing this in, and we don't get a deal, and I think next week is a major league week for us because of what they're setting up in today's news. And what I mean by that is this North Korean triangulation that you and I have talked about pretty frequently. If we don't get good news from the North Korean summit next week, I think Trump, President Trump, could be right back on the Twitter blast talking about raising tariffs on China again, because I think he associates our foreign policy with North Korea and our trade policy with China as being close to one and the same, because he needs China to get North Korea to do what we need him to do.
Absolutely. What else are we needing to talk about today before I let you go?
Well, the biggest thing probably is the USDA numbers came out. There weren't a lot of surprises, except that USDA came in on a yield of soybeans of 49.5 bushels, with a three-year average at almost 51. So they're coming in with a very strong total demand of 4.26 billion bushels in a relatively low yield number. So that 845 carryover that we got this morning for 1920 beans, probably one of the lower numbers we're going to see. So make hay while the sun's shining with that number out there. If we do go higher, I'm still a hedger in soybeans. I don't really want to buy anything on the soy complex with more African swine fever still out there.
And finally for the day, cattle on feed numbers were just released. What they look like?
Probably didn't feed the bull in the fat cattle. Marketing's at 99%. Now, these are as of January 1. We'll get another report next week, and then we'll get another report after our beef house meeting, which, by the way, I'm coming over to see you.
So you betcha, baby.
You get those numbers up, because I got lots of door prizes.
Okay.
But anyway, cattle on feed, neutral for feeders, probably a little bearish for the fats.
You know, if we have an agreement, we'll have a full house, right?
If we don't have an agreement, we should have a full house.
I agree on both of those fronts.
I might be bringing over some Till vodka made here in Atchison, so that might be a door prize, especially if we don't get an agreement.
All right. Hey, well, we'll look forward to seeing that and hearing from you there. Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Us too, Todd. See you later.
Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. We're now joined by Eric Snodgrass. He's from Agribull, and will also join us not next Tuesday, but the following one at the Beef House. He'll actually help us kick off our all-day agricultural outlook meeting. You don't want to miss that one, and it's only $30. Hey, you can start your morning with a Beef House roll, coffee, and Eric Snodgrass talking about the weather for $30. Get a dozen grain analysts in the kitty as well, along with Murray Wise, who will take up the cost of farmland. What a deal. You can do that online at willag.org, willag.org, or 800-898-1065. Don't wait. Do it right now. Eric, thank you, and good afternoon to you. And thanks for agreeing to come over to the Beef House with us, too.
Yeah, I always look forward to it. It's a good time. Meet a lot of great people, and It's a fun way to kick off a new season.
All right. So let's talk about the weather here in the Midwest first. There's another winter storm about. Tell me about it.
Yeah. So this one right now is emerging out in the Great Plains. So just kind of came out of the Four Corner states. I don't know if you heard, but they got snow in Las Vegas. They even had snow at pretty low elevation down in L.A. I'll tell you something. In L.A., when it snows, they kind of lose their minds. But anyways, we've had some snow deep, out west, and it's indicative of the pattern we've got right now. So this low is going to eject into the panhandles of Oklahoma and Texas here in the next few hours, and then it's going to move straight toward kind of the Iowa, Illinois, Wisconsin, Missouri area. It's going to go right across there. Now, where we are, we're going to be to the south of this. So the beautiful weather we have today, we're going to even see warmer weather tomorrow, but it's going to come in on quite a bit of rainfall. So expect, cloudy showers and thunderstorms tomorrow. Get south of us, they're talking about severe weather. Now, the severe weather is one thing, but the bigger picture is this. We have seen an enormous amount of flooding in the lower and mid Mississippi River Valley. I'm talking specifically where the Ohio and the Mississippi River come together. So I'm talking about parts of Tennessee, Kentucky, and also talking about Arkansas, Mississippi, even parts of Louisiana. Now, I've been getting some reports that it's been getting a little more difficult to be moving grain on barges down there. And they are expecting to get between now and Sunday in some locations another 3 inches. And if those thunderstorms train over one another, maybe another up to 5, even 8 inches of rain out of this. So this is going to start to throw a lot of those rivers out of their banks. The flooding problem is going to get even worse. And these flooding problems just don't disappear overnight. They're going to be there for quite some time. So this winter storm that's coming through is going to be a mess maker. For us, it's going to be rain and thunderstorms tomorrow. Behind it, incredibly windy conditions. This is a deep low. I'm expecting very, very, very strong winds to be associated with this system. So yeah, we got a major winter storm on its way right now.
Does it blow in a pattern change?
It kind of does. So what we see after this is that the trough that's been established over the western United States, where it's been really cold from Montana clear down to the Four Corners, we've actually started to see that trough start to migrate back toward the Hudson Bay. Now, that's good for folks that are down in, you know, the place I just told you that were flooding, because this is going to stop that constant flow of moisture out of the Gulf, just soaking them. It's going to change our storm trajectory a little bit, and we're going to go back into, you know, at least through the first week of March, maybe over into a more, you know, normal winter-like pattern again. Now, remember, we're still gaining daylight hours and gaining temperature, but it's still winter, and so we're going to be dealing with the cooler pattern for a while now. I'll say this, though. When we get out to the second week of March, it looks as though we might possibly bring in a decent enough pattern change. We start to actually see some warmer weather for a little while. But remember, March is probably our most volatile month for weather throughout the year. So it's a hit or miss game every day of the week, every day of the month for March.
Have you been thinking about any bigger picture details as it relates to the ocean, El Nino in the United States?
Yeah, so you probably heard that NOAA, National Weather Service, kind of put out their El Nino advisory. We finally saw a decent enough kind of what we call westerly wind burst. We've seen the pressure systems from, you know, Tahiti over to Darwin change enough that we can officially call this an El Nino. But it's not a strong, it's super weak. The waters are just barely above average. It's been kind of a non-player for us. But with those warmer waters in place, if we can keep them tucked up to Mexico and tucked up to the Baja of California, even over toward California, as we get into our growing season, the warmer the water is there, the better it's going to be for us in the Midwest, keeping the heat at bay. But the only issue I think that we might have out of this, you know, this little bit of a strengthening of El Nino is that it's perfectly timed with phase 8, 1, and 2 of the Madden-Julian Oscillation. What all that means is it's been wet in Brazil after being very dry. But it looks as though as it transitions out of that pattern, Brazil may be going back into a drier time period once we get maybe to mid-March and beyond. Now, I'm uncertain about that. But remember, if it's dry in mid-March and April, that really hits their safrinha crop hard. And that safrinha crop went in right on time. And it looks to be a big safrinha corn crop this year. So that's maybe the bigger story with this El Nino MJO play. It would be South America, not North America.
And I'll bet you bring that up for us on Tuesday, the 5th day of March, won't you?
Absolutely. We're going to look even farther than that. We're going to talk about some of the bigger picture stuff we'll be watching clear to July. So we'll hit it all on Tuesday.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, and we appreciate it.
Yep, thank you.
Eric Snodgrass is with Agrible. You can join us on Tuesday, the 5th day of March as well, over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. WillAg.org, 800-898-1065 to purchase your tickets. It's just $30.